Good morning, and welcome to Brentwood Baptist Church. We are a couple of weeks from Easter. This is a great time for you to invite your friends who don't go to church anywhere to church. The concert, Savior, on Palm Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, 6, will be a great time. Everybody loves music, and you know our choir and orchestra will provide some of the best that you will hear, as well as the message of Easter in a way that will be quite memorable. So I trust you'll take advantage of those opportunities. Well, we've had hot, cold, 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 hot, hot, hot. So it tells you it's almost spring in Tennessee. I have gotten all my cardio in, taking my sweaters up and down the stairs, trying to anticipate what the next weather is going to be. You also know it is spring in Middle Tennessee when you start getting advertisements from Cheekwood. And Cheekwood is reminding you that in just a few weeks it will be peak season. And don't you want to come see the beautiful gardens? Cheekwood is a Nashville landmark. And if you haven't been out there, it is an amazing tour just to walk around. It's one of the world's most beautiful places. And have you noticed when you walk through Cheekwood, there is this inner dialogue that goes in, right? The first thing you notice is, you know, there's not one bad plant out here. Not one. You know, usually if you have flowers in your garden or whatever, 9 out of 10, that's pretty good. You know, 7 out of 10, we'll take that. But there's not one bad plant out here. And then you walk a little further and you start wondering, I wonder if I could get my yard to look like this. And then you want to know, how hard do these people work to make these flowers look like this? I wonder who the gardener is. Today we're going to talk about one of the most familiar passages we know in Scripture. It is the story of Jesus talking about the vine and the branches. And here's the question I want you to have throughout this morning and as you ponder your life the rest of this week. Here's the question. When people look at your life, do they want to meet the gardener? When people look at your life, do they want to meet the gardener? Stand with me in honor of God's word as we read this passage now. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. He prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Now remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. Now I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, then he's thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, then whatever you want, it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let's pray together. as you looked at your disciples in that room so long ago and began to teach them to abide in you, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would look out across this congregation and feel the same compassion for us as you did for them, and teach us to abide. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Now, this is one of those passages kind of dangerous to preach from because most of you assume you've already heard it. And you say, okay, this is the passage about the vine and the branches. I know this. In fact, you know, you've written a song about it. He is the vine, I'm the branches. And you're going to turn off your listening. You're going to stop listening because you're going to think you understand it, that you've heard it. Most of us that think we have, haven't. Okay, so I want to be sure that you grab hold of some of the fundamental basic stuff that is part of this passage that we literally cannot thrive as believers unless we understand and are practicing. So I'm going to break this thing for us down Alabama style in the minutes that I have. Now let's understand the context. Where is Jesus doing this teaching? He's doing it after chapter 13. What happens in John chapter 13? Jesus washes the disciples' feet. This is the time when he's in the upper room. We have a real small, intimate gathering with Jesus and his disciples. And he is preparing them for what's about to happen, not only to him, but what will happen to them. It's in between chapter 13 and chapter 17. What happens in chapter 17? That is what we call the priestly prayer. That is where Jesus is praying not only for his disciples, but he's praying for all of us as well. And when he looks at those disciples, and he understands what's going to happen over the couple of hours that follow, he begins to understand if they don't get this, they won't make it. Unless they understand that they're going to have to stay closely connected to me, as close as they are to me now, they won't survive. And if they don't survive, there's no early church, there's no Pentecost, there's no you, there's no me. That's the danger moment we're at. That's the moment that Jesus is teaching this. This is not a pretty rhyme that Jesus is giving to us. It is the essence of our survival. If you don't get this, if you don't practice this, you will not make it. So how does Jesus begin? I am the true vine. Brings an interesting question, doesn't it? Are there false vines? If Jesus says, now understand, Jesus is a brilliant teacher. He doesn't waste words. If that word is in there, it's in there for a reason. He says later that he's the vine and doesn't add true to it. Right now, to get this conversation started, he reminds the disciples, I am the true vine. Are there false vines? Yes, we call them weeds. Now, again, being from Alabama, I looked at that. Is there a false vine? Sure, I know it. It's called kudzu. If there was ever a lying vine, it's kudzu. Do you know we imported kudzu? It's not native to America. We imported it from Japan. We imported it because we thought it would grow fast enough to feed our cattle. Cows can't eat kudzu fast enough. Do you know that? Cows, they can't eat it fast enough. Goats can't eat it fast enough. It'll overgrow a goat. Now, if you've been to the Deep South, as I have, you will see kudzu vines literally grow over trees and weigh those trees down and crash those trees down. It will grow over a house and tear the house down. That kudzu makes all kinds of promises, keeps none of them. Is there a false vine? Sure there is. And if you're grafted onto the wrong vine, you will grow and grow and grow like weeds do, but you will not produce any fruit worth having. So here's the first challenge of this passage. Are you grafted on to the true vine? He is the true vine. The Father is the gardener. Now, if there's a gardener, then there's going to be some intentional action toward fruit. Remember, the purpose of this exercise is to produce fruit, not to grow fast. We have a word for things that grow too fast. It's called cancer. Now, a plant naturally wants to grow. And if you're not careful, all of the energy of the tree will be put into growing. All the energy of the vine will be put into growing. About growing real fast, but never taking the time to produce fruit. So the smart gardener cuts off the growth and makes the vine grow thick so that it will grow fruit. You ever known a Christian like that? Huh? Want to grow fast. I'm just going to love Jesus. That's all I'm going to do. No, doesn't produce anything that resembles a Christian. Just going to be real smart about following Jesus. You cut that growth off. You grow thick and you produce fruit. Now, if you are a vine, pruning day is not a happy day. Okay? And we have this thing, this aversion, that we really don't want Jesus to prune us because it will hurt. Okay? Now notice something about this pruning. One, there are obvious things you prune. Dead branches, things that aren't continuing to live, you cut those off. A disease branch, you cut those off. And if you've spent any time in church, you know about the Ten Commandments, and you know that things that are against the Ten Commandments, those sins that we talk about all the time, those things get cut off pretty quickly. But if you've been a follower of Christ, you understand that he also prunes good things out of your life. Some of Satan's biggest victories are when we do good things when best was an option. Now, the vine will continue to grow, and there'll be little green shoots that come out that will turn into branches if you let them. The smart gardener goes through and cuts off those little green branches. You know what they're called? Suckers. Okay, my friend who's the gardener was talking to me about this. He said, yeah, you got to go in there and cut off those little suckers. I thought he was being Southern with me. Yeah, you got to cut off those little suckers. I don't know, I got that. Uh-uh, that's what they're called, suckers. You know why? They suck the nutrients from the vine and produce no fruit. They're cut off. Some of you look healthy. Some of you look strong, but you're taking nutrients from the vine and producing no fruit. The whole point of the process is to produce fruit. Not to grow a healthy tree, not to grow a healthy vine, produce fruit. Not to grow big leaves, produce the fruit. Anything that takes away from the production of the fruit gets cut away. Anything. And sometimes that's good things. Okay, I watch a lot of sports. If it rolls, bounces, I'm gonna be in it, and I'm gonna find my favorite team, and I'm okay. I don't think when I stand up in front of Jesus, he's gonna say, you know, you didn't miss a Final Four since you were 12 years old. That's not what he will say. Whether or not you watch basketball is immaterial. Here's the question. What did you do with the time? What you were watching, did it help you become more like Christ? Did it help you produce fruit? If the answer to that is no, you cut it off. If that answer is, gosh, I don't know, maybe cut it off. So that all the energy is producing fruit. Now, well, I know you're going, well, Mike, that just sounds so nice. I want to cross-stitch that and produce fruit for Jesus. What is fruit? Well, you're unfortunate. We have a list. It's in Galatians 5. Paul was writing to the early church, and he said, listen, if you live a non-spiritual life, we know the kind of fruit that it produces. If your life is filled with the Spirit, here's what it produces. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Yeah, I know it's still on there. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of social media has been a buzz this week about a man who lost self-control. Can you remain faithful to God when the world around you is ungodly? Can your behavior be dictated by your obedience to Christ, not response to the moment? Love, peace, joy. These are the fruit of the Spirit. If Christ is working in your life, if you are grafted into Christ, and his life energy is flowing into you, these are the natural consequences, the fruit of your life. A question. If I want an apple, I go to an apple tree. I walk over to the apple tree. I pick it off the apple tree. It's right there. It's hanging from the tree. The same way, hanging from the vine, the branch of your life, should be these things: love, peace, joy, patience. So that if I am looking for those things in my world, I know where to go to pick them. If I'm looking for love, I go to your vine. If I'm looking for peace, joy, I go to your vine, because that's the fruit that Christ has produced in you. And that fruit should be so life-changing that it makes the people around you want to meet the gardener. If you are not grafted into that living vine that Jesus is, you won't do any of this. You think about it. All of us have made New Year's resolutions that look like the fruit of the Spirit, don't we? I'm going to be more gentle this year. If I have to punch somebody in the nose, I'm going to be more gentle this year. We've done that. These are not things that you do. They are natural consequences of a life that is abiding, remain in me, abiding in the life of Christ. That means you are in the Scripture every day. You're in a group of other believers who are in the Scriptures. Mike, man, I'd love to be in a group. I'm too busy. prune it. The focus is on producing fruit. You're going to be in worship. You're going to be doing these fundamentals, these basic things, because the whole goal is to produce the fruit. In this way, my Father is glorified, Jesus says, that you produce much fruit. And in that, prove then to be my disciples. Now, in these moments of reflection, meditation that follow, ask yourself some of these questions. Are you grafted on to the right vine, the true vine? What about the fruit of the Spirit? Is that what your life is producing? We're coming now to the Lord's table to remember again his sacrifice for us. The deacons will be taking their positions now to serve you. And as they do, use these moments to reflect, prepare your own heart for the receiving of the cup and the bread. Lord Jesus, welcome us now to your table. Teach us, Lord, patiently how to abide that we too may produce much fruit. And we pray this in your name. Amen.